and also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Some of the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. Sometimes death hits very close to home and gives us a loud wake-up call. This past Sunday, my good friend and the deacon in our diocese, Mike Logan, passed away unexpectedly. He was 62 years old, which I have come to realize is not very old at all. And then in the same week, a 13-year-old boy from Nepal was killed in an ATV accident. These deaths impact a lot of people, friends and family, and our prayers are with all those whose lives have been changed forever by these losses. But it isn't wrong, it isn't making things all about us, to also stop and take this opportunity to remind ourselves what the writer of Psalm 90 said, that our lives are as fleeting and as fragile as grass, that's green and growing in the morning and fades and withers by the time the sun goes down. We do well to remember when we wake up every morning that we have today, we have only today, to do those things that we know we ought to do, to show kindness to the people we meet, to forgive the offenses that we've been holding on to make peace, to use our time and our gifts and our possessions for good. Jesus' words are shockingly harsh in the parable that we read today. "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you." We have today, maybe no more than just that, to live our lives. And we do well to remember that, even though we don't like being reminded of immortality, and especially I think we don't like being reminded of the mortality of the people we love. But the truth is, if we're living as if we had control over our lives, we are fools. And that's part of the lesson of today's parable. But it's not the main lesson. Jesus often told a parable in response to a question that somebody in the audience threw out to him. And to understand the point of his stories, you have to know what the question is that the story was meant to answer. And that's the case this time. There was a man in the crowd who called out to Jesus on a matter of justice and fairness. Or that's what it seems like. "Teacher, tell my brother to share the family inheritance with me," he said. Luke doesn't tell us any details about this man's situation. What the practice was in Israel for inheritance was that the sons of a family shared out the inheritance equally, except for the eldest, who got a double share. The way that worked is if there were two sons, the youngest got a third of the inheritance, and the eldest got two-thirds. There were three sons, the two youngest each got a quarter of the inheritance, and the eldest got two quarters, which meant half. And there's just no way for us to know in this passage if this man's brother was trying to cheat him out of what was rightly his, or if the man was trying to see if Jesus, who had a reputation for being kind of a radical in a lot of ways, would take his side against his elder brother and tell him he really should split the inheritance equally. We don't know, but the thing is, Jesus didn't care about any of that. And he said, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And then he looked at the whole crowd and he said, take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life is not about possessions. And then he went on to tell the story that we just read about the man who built bigger barns to hold all his stuff. The story about building bigger barns then is partly about knowing that our lives could end at any minute. But more specifically, it's a story about this human tendency to be greedy. Greed is such an awful word. We don't like to think that we would ever be greedy people. Only nasty villains and evil politicians are greedy, not plain old nice people like we are. Maybe we're a little materialistic sometimes, but we wouldn't ever say we're greedy. But when Jesus warns the man in the crowd to guard against greed, he's not talking about some kind of extreme, unusual wickedness. He's just talking about our very human, natural attraction to stuff. We are creatures who get attached to our stuff. And this was never more true than it is today in present-day America. We don't even have to work hard to acquire a lot of stuff. When Carol and I moved to New York in 1986, ever so long ago, we had 6 children and a huge dog. We had a few mattresses and an old desk and a dollhouse and a gazillion books. It was not a whole lot for a family of 8, at least by American standards. And we packed it all in a big yellow school bus with lots of room to spare, and we drove 1,000 miles to find a place where we'd live simply on a little bit of land. But within an astonishingly short time, our house was full of stuff. Clothes and furniture and toys and tools, stuff we needed, and sometimes stuff we didn't need at all. We live in this culture that almost requires us to be at least a little greedy. We are conditioned to admire people who accumulate a lot of really nice stuff. Look at those women's magazines and the houses and the pictures, and you just drool over their curtains and their couches. We spend the majority of our youth preparing for a career that will provide us with stuff because we have a responsibility to provide stuff for our families so they will never have to worry about not having stuff. We want our children to have more stuff than we had and better stuff. And we are required by law to insure our stuff so that if it burns or crashes or gets stolen, we can get all our stuff replaced. People's homes are so full of stuff nowadays that a whole industry has grown up for the purpose of storing the stuff that won't fit in our houses so we don't have to get rid of it. You can see these new storage businesses all over the place. Americans are building bigger barns. But we have forgotten, or maybe we never knew, that real life is not about stuff. Take care, Jesus. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. The man that called up from the crowd to Jesus was probably not trying to take advantage of his brother. He probably didn't want anything more than what was just rightly his. But Jesus didn't even ask about that. It didn't matter. His warning just cut across issues of fairness and rights and equality, because all those things have to do with possessions, with things, with stuff. And real life is not about the stuff. If we'd been there, we might not have thought that the man was particularly greedy for wanting to get what he was supposed to get. And Jesus' answer would probably have taken us by surprise. with our attachment to stuff, the danger of our attachment to stuff is not that stuff is evil in and of itself. It's that the richer we are in stuff, the poorer we become in the things that make for an abundant life. There's a children's story from Pakistan that you've probably heard before, I think. It's about a monkey who was troubling the people of a village by going into their houses and stealing food. And there was this clever man who figured out how to catch the monkey. He took two pots with narrow necks and he put peanuts in them. The monkey found the pots and reached in with both his hands to grab the peanuts. And with his hands full of nuts, he couldn't get his hands out of the pots. He couldn't bring himself to let go of the nuts. And he couldn't run away with his hands stuck in the pots. And so he was caught and locked up in the zoo where he couldn't cause any more trouble. But the trouble with holding on to our stuff is that it traps us. It keeps us from being free to live abundantly because life is not about stuff. If you remember the story of the rich young man that came to Jesus once to ask him, how do I get eternal life? He was a good man. He knew all the do's and don'ts. He had learned them from the time he was a tiny little boy. Jesus looked into his heart and he loved him. But he said, just one more thing. Get rid of all your stuff and come, follow me. And the young man went away sad. He was trapped. His stuff kept him from attaining that life that he had come to seek. Jesus watched the young man walk away, and remember what he said, I tell you the truth. It is harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now people have concocted these elaborate theories to complicate what Jesus was saying. But despite what you might have heard, there is no gate called the eye of the needle that camels have to pass through on their knees or anything like that. Jesus wasn't using some symbolic language that makes sense. He was purposely using this ridiculously extreme image, this image of trying to stuff a huge, hairy, pokey critter through a tiny hole. But he was trying to illustrate a point that wealth, that attachment to stuff is more than just a huge burden. It makes it impossible for us to live a full life. Because when Jesus talks about entering the kingdom of heaven, he's not talking about the hereafter. He's not talking about the sweet by and by. He's talking about the life that the children of God have right now. Like you pray every day, thy kingdom come today. Life today, powered by the Spirit, with freedom to love and serve, freedom to offer compassion and forgiveness, freedom to rejoice and be thankful in all situations, unhindered by the stuff of the world. And that's why Jesus told the man in the crowd, friend, I got no time for passing judgment on matters of stuff. All that is dirt and rocks and bricks and boards and coins and cloth. And all of that stuff has nothing to do with real life. And he says, you got no time for that either. Wake up and let go. Live while you still have time to live. We don't like to think so, but all of us, to a greater or lesser degree, and I know it's true for me, all of us are naturally inclined to be greedy. Cool or worldly goods tight with our sweaty little paws like that silly monkey in the story. Even when we find ourselves trapped, we hold on because we're afraid we won't have enough. We hold on because it makes us feel safe. We hold on because we believe the world when it tells us that our stuff, our salary, and our nice car, and our comfortable home, and our fashionable clothes, and our retirement account, that stuff gives us real worth. As physical creatures, we need the things of the world. We need food, and we need a home, we need clothes. Jesus never said otherwise. In fact, one time he said, your father knows you need all that stuff. But look at the birds up in the air. They have not done a day's work in their whole lives, and your father feeds but real abundant life. And life in the kingdom is freedom. It's not servitude to our possessions. If we loosen our grip, if we can let go, we'll find that we are free to live as we have never lived before. I've seen it again and again with people who are in the last days of their lives. They have learned how little value there is in the stuff around them. They know the freedom of letting go, of offering grace and love where there's been hostility and resentment. They've learned the freedom of giving without any expectation of repayment. It doesn't matter anymore. And that is abundant life. But how if we learn to let go before we're in the final days of our life? Because really, as Jesus pointed out, any day could very well be our last. Life doesn't consist in the abundance of possessions. Jesus told the man with hearts, it is so much more than that. Don't let's waste our time here on earth building bigger barns. There's a kingdom to build, and there's a whole world out there that needs the love of the Father. We got no time for worrying about